Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Oh, hello, everybody. Most of you not tuning in to the video, but we're just adjusting our set. Welcome back. Today, we're talking about growth, growth mindset, fixed mindset, and the whole idea that you're either growing or you're dying. And when do we get in our own way? When do we not realize that we've got more of a fixed mindset? And, you know, how do we break free of some of those things? And that's that. In my own world, I just thought of, we were talking about this before we went live, but I just thought of a quote, and it was like some famous sports coach that said, every day you get better or you get worse. You never stay the same, which is so true. And then also kind of uncomfortable, because like some days you're like, this wasn't a great day. This was not my my best day. And maybe that's a growing pain. I think I've had a few of those in the last week or so. It's a little bit nail biting. Oh, geez. Is today a getting better day or a getting worse day? Today is a getting better day because I'm talking to you guys.
Hey.
That's a good answer.
Especially with the beautiful image that James gave us this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Half naked cycling one.
Yeah. So that's how we start the podcast. James is cycling and then he changes his clothes in front of us and then we hit record. So
growth mindset.
Yeah. Next time we'll hit record earlier.
Gotta start with a positive mindset. Here we go.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a growth in general is an interesting topic in many areas because it can mean so many things to so many different people. And I do believe, and we talked about it a little bit before and previously, I do believe there is kind of no just standing still. And I mean, that isn't life in any sense of the world, in any sense of the word, is it? We are either kind of, I don't even think moving backwards is moving backwards, but there's succeeding and learning, as we talk about. There's no failing, but sometimes I do feel like we're going backwards. And I don't think there is kind of like a straight line plateau. I think for all of us, growth is, it represents a moving forward towards something that we want to achieve. If it's a feeling, if it's monetary, if it's relationship, if it's peace of mind, if it's, you know, our personal physique, whatever it is a movement towards that particular goal.
Yeah. I think when I think about a lot of the challenges that people have, whether it's your own or you're looking at people in your life, you know, professionally or personally, I mean, I think about it as it relates to team dynamics and, you know, thinking about how do I help grow people and support their success, thinking about those parts of them that feel fixed, like, I don't know if you grew up in a family that told you certain things about the way we are, like we don't sing well in this family, or no one in this family is good at math, or like those, you know, ideas about we're these kind of people. And then those ideas live in your mind forever. And maybe it's not a family thing. It could be a school thing. It could be a friend thing. You know, your cohort identifies a certain way. And then you identify that way and you label yourself that way. And then breaking free of that to grow, to develop, to recognize that that's not a fixed limitation. There's no fixed state. We know that the brain changes. We know, you know, we know that we are infinitely changing all of the time, like our cells. I don't know, Stel, you probably know this about the biology, but like, you know, I think like every 7 years, like there's no cell that's the same or something. I'm completely making that up based on what someone told me once. So somebody wants to validate that, they can't. But we're not fixed beings. And I just think sometimes we don't know and we can't see the labels we give ourselves that hold us back. And I can see it when I see it with other people. But, you know, maybe I don't see some of those when it comes to me. So, go.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my question to you guys. When do you think that you took on a growth mindset? What age do you think you were, or what situation, or have you always been?
Well, you're going to say like a 1000 BC, you're going to say.
100%. I don't even know how early I took it on because it was in past lives. I would say, and that there's, we could talk about that on an episode. I would say always.
But
I would say
always, right? Or a long,
100%
or
of
a
my
long
life.
time,
Yeah.
a long time.
A
Okay,
very long time.
so do you know someone or someones that have adopted a fixed mindset and are stuck there?
Yeah.
Right? Okay,
Absolutely.
so now the question is, what percentage, right? Because my take is that we have both.
Me too.
Okay, so we have both. Certain situations you're fixed. In other words, like, you're stuck or you don't know what to do, or there's a negative thought or negative idea. It's natural. We're human beings. And then usually from a reframing of that space, whatever's causing that fixed mindset is actually where the growth occurs. So I'm an and guy, right? So you
Wait, you
think,
have to say
okay,
that again, because you've said this before. You are an and
I'm
guy,
an and
not
guy.
a
So
but guy.
yes.
What does it mean to be an and guy? Let's break that
Well,
down before.
so instead of saying this or that, okay, I look at it in terms of this and that, right? Because it's really easy to judge and say, well, I'm a growth mindset person and that person's a fixed mindset person. It's like, no, we have both,
That's
right? It's
actually
just,
a fixed mindset.
yeah.
To say, just even to say that is a fixed mindset.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So it's just true. It's like, yeah, I can't say, well, I'm growth and you're fixed. Oh no, but I'm a growth mindset person. It's the mindset of the mindset. So this is
Yeah.
gonna get interesting. So the reason I'm asking the question, and for the listeners to think out there to say, okay, what is it that you do? Okay, or what is it that you think? Or what is it that you're being that is at least offering the opportunity to experience the growth mindset? Because here's the other thing I'm gonna add. There's a reason why they call it growing pains. Okay, because if you're in a growth mindset, that means that implicitly that you're something shifting, okay, which isn't this, yay, we're happy go lucky, this is awesome, right? It's work that needs to happen in order for there to be a shift. And the analogy I can give, there was a rabbi, I used this video quite a bit, and a colleague actually introduced me to it, called The Lobster. Okay, and we talked about, well, you just mentioned, like, you're not the same person you were 7 years ago because our cells are constantly sloughing off and everything's changing within us. And, the lobster gets to a point where it's growing, but the shell now isn't big enough for the lobster. Okay, so what does it have to do? Grow a new shell, but in order to get there, there's a lot of pressure. Okay, and then
I feel sad for the lobster all of a sudden. It feels very uncomfortable.
right? And now, as it's shedding its old shell, right, then it grows a new one. People see the new shell and go, wow, what a beautiful new shell you have. But to go through the process of growth and change is uncomfortable, right? So you have to step outside your comfort zone. And then it's the learnings that you get from movement of fixed to growth or old shell to new shell where the gift is. Okay. And why I'm grateful to both of you. Okay. And people that I'm really, really connected to. A big piece for me is being an environment that provides safety and the ability for that growth to occur, which both of you give me. Okay. So I'll leave it at that. And you guys can take it from there. Man, I have the image of James from this morning in my head. I think I'm like overly excited today.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, don't know what to say on that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Nothing,
I
just
don't know
pose.
if that's growth or if that's
There, yeah, I agree with Sel. The we are both at different times about different things. And you could be in a growth mindset on Tuesday about something and then Wednesday feel fixed about it. Like that we are sort of ever learning about ourselves and our relationship to whatever thing it is. I can speak to like the starting a business journey, and I feel like super grateful that like 95% 4% of the time, or maybe 80%, whatever, that whatever's happening, whether it's a win or a loss or a struggle or whatever, I'm like on a journey. And this is where we are in the journey. And whatever happens is like I'm supposed to learn from this. Like I do, and we talked about this a bit in the stress or the stress episode, where it's like you gotta feel, go down into the dumps sometimes to feel the thing that hurts or is painful or is uncomfortable. But pretty quickly, I start to look up and go, okay, what are we supposed to do about this? But what's interesting is let's put this growth mindset into a fixed mindset world, because often these days, people are very right and fixed about what they believe. Like we've got major polarity in the political environment. You've got, the influencers and famous people who are helping shape minds often are, even if they're not like fixed themselves, they're put into a bucket with a bunch of people who go, you're this way. So we can't like you because you like so and so, or you do what, right? Like what's interesting is we've got more access to more research, more resources about growth and development, et cetera, and self-reflection and all that stuff. And yet the world seems more and more fixed than ever, that it is just the way it is. You are good or you are bad. Like I can't tell you how many people now either like or dislike friends of theirs, like they're friends or they're not friends based on their political views. Like when you think about it, like it's the weirdest thing, because we should be the most evolved that we've ever been. And here we are. I don't know. And we're recoiling into this very fixed mindset, which is interesting to me too.
It's basically there's a movie going on at all times inside our head, isn't it? And I think if we were to record this same topic 2 months ago, and record it in 2 months' time, in say February, I think we'll have completely different conversations. So even though that we are all fixed or not fixed, depending on the situation, it's relative to what's happening in to our lives at the time, and the circumstances, our emotions, what's going on. Because there's, I think there's more things going on in our lives now than there ever have been before. More mentally, emotionally, than physically. I think that we are at war with ourselves half the time. Our grandparents and ancestors were physically at war. And I think now that we're not necessarily doing that physically, but we are mentally with ourselves and what we're trying to achieve, with technology, expectations that are put on us by others, and by ourselves. And I think that it's tough. And even myself, even though I'm a very futuristic and positive person, and you both know, and I've voiced it on the previous podcast, that I've gone through one of the toughest years that I've been through. And even though that I'm very growth orientated, I went into some dark places this year where I felt like quitting with work, and I think we all get challenged. And you were both an amazing support through that period. And it's only when you get a glimmer of hope that you start to see the kind of key ingredients or nutrients that's in there and in the learning. And Stel kept saying to me, find the learning, find the learning, find the learning, which is so true. But I think you have to be not necessarily a growth natured person, but you need to be more growth than, say, victim mentality. Because if I was, let's say, 51% victim mentality, and I think I went there for a period of time as well, we tend to be about why me, why me, why is this happening? I'm unfortunate. This is always happening to me. Maybe it's a sign that I shouldn't do it, and I should, not go head on and face the obstacles. I should just, turn right and surrender. But if we're switch it a little bit and become 51% or greater in the growth mindset, then that's where we kind of dig deep, we persevere, we push forward. And for me, and we talk a lot about this in the previous podcast about habits. For me, I go to a place of focusing on the things that I can control, which then hopefully will then come in the end results. I think if we focus so much on the results, sometimes that can pull you towards the target. But for me, I feel like I want to have a push and a pull towards the result, which is the pull is towards focusing on the end target and putting myself into the future, which helps pull me towards that result. But then also focusing on my habits, which is like a push towards where I want to get to. So I focus on dialing in on, daily routines, what I can control, meditation, all these things. So I feel like I'm doing everything I can to achieve that result. It's not easy. I mean, we always say it's not easy, and we'll never figure it out because we are a complicated human being with many external factors going on, which is constantly changing. Some days I go, James, you've got it figured out. You've got the habits, and then something comes in and derails it. It's like, okay, I now need to reset. I don't have it figured out. I now need to go back. And so, yeah, it's not easy.
I
No,
have
it's
so I'm looking up something here. Did I talk about the drama triangle in previous episodes? I can't remember now.
I don't
Anyways,
know,
doesn't
but
matter. I'm
it
gonna
does
talk about
matter
it
because
again.
maybe people,
I know.
yeah, maybe people hadn't listened.
I know. What you
Drama
just made
triangle
me
is a great
realize,
topic.
what you just made me realize, James, is the drama triangle came up in my head, and I don't know who created it. I just know that Shannon Waller, who's one of our coaches at Strategic Coach, had mentioned it in a class. It resonated then. It really resonates now. And whoever taught her this or mentioned it did a talk. I think she did a podcast with this person, and she basically asked the audience between victim and perpetrator and rescuer, which one do you identify with?
Can we just pause on that for a second just to describe the drama triangle? So I just so Stephen Cartman in the 60s was the
That's what it
first
was.
person to bring it up. So it was, way back when, and then there have been different iterations ever since. And essentially that you play in the drama triangle, you play one of three roles. You play the victim, the rescuer, or the persecutor. It's been the labels have changed. Some people call it the hero, the villain, whatever, but essentially in the drama triangle, you've got victim, rescuer, persecutor. And if you want to assess whether you're one of those people, I think Stella, now you can talk about, get into what you learned in your thing so that
Yeah, so
now
well, I
people know
just
the
looked it
background.
up. So Stephen Cartman, a San Francisco psychiatrist, created the drama triangle in 1968, developed the social model while studying under Eric Byrne, and so on and so forth. And then he created what you just mentioned right now. So he actually talks about destructive relationship patterns in this article, right? But this is the realization that I had, especially with the talk that we spoke on in terms of flow. If you identify with one, okay, whoever was speaking with Shannon said, you're all three. Okay, you always end up being all three. So you can start off as a victim, but then eventually you may get frustrated and then be the perpetrator, or be the rescuer because you understand what it's like being a victim, and so on and so forth. Okay. Now, with regards to how do you move from a fixed mindset, and for anybody listening, think of a triangle that's kind of upside down, with all three points being victim, rescuer, and perpetrator. Okay.
Persecutor.
Sorry, persecutor,
Can we
persecutor.
just pause again? Sorry. I think it's a really good point. I just want to make sure people understand what we're talking about. So the victim feels helpless, the persecutor blames and criticizes, and the rescuer tries to save the day without being asked. They're the person who comes in as the hero and saves the day. So a lot of people would be like, I'm not in the drama triangle. I'm the one who helps everyone. But actually, being the rescuer is causing, if you're a rescuer, you're creating a victim. Right. And so I think it's important to see that, in the triangle, which role is which, because yes, you might not at first glance see it, because there's a lot of heroes out there, a lot of rescuers that think, I'm the one saving the day. I'm not the one creating the drama. And then they turn into the persecutor because they're like, the person creating the drama is that victim over there. And they start labeling that person and they become the persecutor. And then the victim's like, poor me, look at these people who are unfair to me, you know? And so when you think about it, there, you know, you can see it in your own life, in your own story, in your head, the own movie in your head, and then also in other people. So I just thought it was important to break down what those roles are.
You're the best color commentator. I love it. No,
Thank you, Sal. Sorry for interrupting.
no, no. Are you kidding me? This is amazing.
Okay.
This way we work so well, you know. And
Right.
God, you look good this morning, James. Okay, so, basically,
Now he's blushing. It's amazing.
It's
what
bad
I.
enough having compliments from women, let alone from you, Stel.
Yeah, I meant like repeatedly in
Of
20
course.
minutes.
Listen, it's why do you think I'm so excited this morning? We're like all these triangles, it's exciting conversations. Yeah, anyways. Okay. See, I'm filtering again. Okay. So here's this upside down triangle. And now it's a choice. We can stay in the drama triangle. The question is, how do we get out? Okay. When we start seeing ourselves and get the learnings that you're talking about, James. And again, the visual would be you're moving towards the center of the triangle, and we'll call it flow, the zone, okay? Awareness. Okay. Now, the more often that we get into that center or in flow is where now we start growing. Okay. The growth mindset sets in, and we start getting glimpses of how we merge on the top part of the triangle. So I don't know if I'm gonna, Mary, you might help me visualize this. So you have an upside down triangle at the bottom,
No, yes, upside down pyramid, upside down
pyramid,
triangle.
upside down
Yeah.
pyramid triangle. And then on top of that, you have a right side up triangle that sits on top of the
Right.
upside down one.
So
Okay.
you're looking at a diamond
Bingo.
that has two halves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is fun. This is like playing Pictionary without actually drawing.
So now what happens is the center of the bottom triangle allows you to go in, okay, get the learnings, and then, like a little portal, you come out through the top center that allows you to come out. And what do you see? You start getting glimpses of the victim, sorry, the rescuer now becoming the coach.
Okay.
The persecutor now becoming the challenger,
Okay.
and the victim now becoming the creative.
I love that.
Okay.
Wait,
And
okay, so
what?
now let's hit pause for not get another second.
Yep.
What does it look, because I can intuitively get this, but so now with a growth mindset and self-awareness, these roles change. So if I'm a victim, I can change to the creator. Describe to me what the creator is. Like, what's the creator like?
Okay. So I think this question came up in a previous podcast, and we're like, okay, you have $1 billion in the bank, but you have to do something. You have to work. What do you choose to do? Okay. And then again, Keith Cunningham is the one that posed this question to us in one of the courses. And he threw the statistic out there that 98 or 99% of the people are going to say something around growth or contributions. Okay. And usually within that construct is what your creative process is. Okay. Some people say music, some people say art, some people say whatever. Like, even if it's within a profession, it's like, okay, what part of what you do that you're born to do is it that you're contributing, and what part are you growing? So there's the growth and the contribution piece that's coming into play. Okay. So if the victim is the fixed mindset or the challenge, the learnings are what get you into your creative process of who you actually are and what you were born to do, and allow basically your creative within you, right?
So you go from I'm helpless, I don't know how to do this, this is like someone else's problem, to I can do it, I own it, I have the power. So that becomes the creator, right?
Yeah. And then look, I'll pose it to you guys so you can talk on this one, right? So if you know, James, are you a finance guy?
Yes and no. I mean by title, but not by activity, no.
Mary, are you a PR marketing person?
Yes, and I'm also an and gal.
Okay, so here's the and piece, right? So if I ask you guys, what is your creative in terms of who you are and what you do in the construct of your profession, how would you answer? Or an example of one, Miss Inside
Yeah,
Out.
I would say, like, I would, my personal purpose and mission is to inspire the working world to get people leaning into their strengths and the contribution they can make. And so, the very highest level, marketing is about activating human beings. And, I would choose to do the work that gets people connected to their strengths, their passion, their way of making the world better in some way or another. So that's where I turn into I can do, like I can, I have the power to, I know my strengths, in that way. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. And again, it's like if you think of the drama triangle that we say, well, where you're at now, are you a coach?
Yes.
Do you challenge your clients
Yes.
or your team? Okay.
Can
Is your creative emerging where now the essence of who you are and
Yeah.
what you do is actually coming to the forefront?
I, yes. And I'll tell you what, on this drama triangle thing, I'm going to give some definitions to the audience too, because I pulled some up. But the drama triangle is a highly uncomfortable place. I do not like victim. I do not like persecutor. And I think I have to watch sometimes on hero, because you think you're helping. And you're actually kind of robbing everybody else of their own power when you do that. So I don't know if I do that. I mean, that's a little bit more nuanced. From a creator standpoint, so you're looking at this diamond, creators at the top diamond, right? Owns the power to choose and respond, focuses on outcomes. I can do it. Coach, you go from hero into coach, to your point. The hero is poor you. I'm sorry for you.
Or
Like whatever. I
rescuer,
need.
or rescuer.
Yeah, he rescuer slash hero. Is the I need to it's my job to come in and save you because you can't save yourself. The pot like the the flip side of that is the coach, which is the supports and assists, facilitates clarity by asking questions. How are you going to do it? How can you do it? As opposed to taking the power away from the victim. And then the last one, which is the persecutor, which is it's all about the problem, dominates, blames, tears people down. They can't do it. You never get it right. Da da da. Turns into challenger, which is calls forth new learning and growth, provokes and evokes action. It's conscious and constructive. You can do it. Challenger. And then we were talking about creator. So challenger is you can do it. Creator is I can do it. Coach is how will you do it? I don't
Yeah.
know if that's helpful. It's just it's a really powerful dynamic, and we would want people to see the shift. And we can put links in the show notes to
It's subtle,
facilitate.
but it's effective, yeah.
James,
Yeah.
look at it like I'm curious now to see based on the challenges that you mentioned in the last year and where you're at now, because obviously there's a pop, and how would you explain what happened in terms of the construct of moving from fixed or the lower triangle pyramid to the upper one.
The drama triangle. Oh, drama triangle or empowerment dynamic or
Empowerment dynamic. Yeah,
empowerment.
that's the.
Yeah, that would be the dreaded drama triangle or the empowerment dynamic. And so they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in any, whether it's business or relationships or anything, we go through this period of challenge. And for me, it was just a learning opportunity, but you really helped me a lot as well in trying to extract out what that learning was. So for me, it was just a down period where for me, I then go, I need to double down on my habits, goals and the people around me, and trying to give more, because I do think that when we go through these tough times, the best thing to do is to kind of arrows out and give, and that will help you level up. But you were helpful as well in trying to pinpoint specifically what was the learning, because where I just thought that these things come along and it's just part of life. you was trying to say, no, it's coming, it's a lesson for a specific, for a particular reason, and until you pull out that learning, you're going to stay there. So try and find, and we also spoke about this, Mary, right? That we have to go through this, and it's kind of like, you know, the shelling, it's the lobster, it's the shelling of the skin, it's whatever you want to call it. And I think the steeper the curve and the more painful it is, they say the better the learning. And whether or not you want, and I don't really know on this factually, but whether or not you want a steep curve and straight back up quickly, or you want something that is a slow decline and hurts for less but for a longer period of time, or do you want a sharp pain and then you come back out of it quickly? I don't know. Mine was kind of like a 6 month down period and then back up out. But one thing that you was trying to help me with, Stel, was what this has come to you for a reason. What's the reason? What is the lesson it's trying to teach you? Because until you learn that, either you're not going to come out of it properly or it'll happen again. So get the learning, pull it out, work on it, and then move forward. And that I agree with.
You know, it's so funny. It just reminds me of conversations I was having with my teenagers recently. And I think I may have told you guys about this before, maybe these guys haven't heard it. So we talk about, and often I work with really successful people. I work with business leaders who've built businesses who have a big vision and a big impact in the world. And so you ask the question, so what are the events that have shaped your life? And a lot of times you get the highlight reel. You get the, well, I was a prodigy in soccer. I was a, head of this club. I got a scholarship over here. But what's it, you don't, and you know, if you believe, and I do, that all growth comes from discomfort, then underneath all of those highlights are some lowlights that really shaped the person. And yet maybe we identify with, or we don't think people want to hear about, or whatever, the tough stuff. So it's interesting to me because my son said to me the thing about, he and I have the same sort of limiting beliefs around, I'm just a normal person. How could I be, capable of extraordinary things? We were having this conversation, and he said, "Hey, mom, because he was sharing with me." And then when I was listening to him, I'm like, oh my God, I wrote like almost the same thing down on my paper. Here I am, 30 years older than him, and experiencing the same sort of story in my head or whatever that thing is, which means, we the human experience, we have more in common than we don't. But when I played that back to him, he goes, "Mom, I don't know. When I think about it," was really sweet. He goes, "When I think about somebody I'm most jealous of for accomplishing and doing things and living life the way they want to and like all that," he didn't say, I don't know what the specific words are. He goes, "It's you." And I was like, oh, dude, like you don't realize. Like I barely graduated from high school. I flunked three classes in grade 11. I had to go to community college to get my grades up to be able to go do anything. Like not proud moments at all. And I look back and I'm like, ah, shit, I could have done better. And I think that sometimes, but then I'm also like, all of those things made me this person the way that I am. And so I'm grateful for them. But I was like, what a sh what it was really lovely to hear my son say that. But also
Course.
the kind of kick in the stomach was the massive gulf between what he thinks I've always been in terms of fixed mindset. My mom is this way, to who I know I am and all the things that have got me to this place and the ups and downs and the bad choices and the learnings and the stuff, right? So it's interesting. And as I think about what's my most important job, I mean, to help coach these kids and support them in becoming healthy, well-adjusted, happy adults, right? And I'm thinking, holy smokes, what a missed opportunity if we didn't talk about the things in life that shaped me are the things in life that were hard. They were the mistakes too. Not like things don't like I made bad choices and I suffered the consequences and learned from them, right? But if my
But
son, who knows
we
me,
should be celebrating that. Sorry. We should be
exactly,
celebrating that, right?
We should be high-fiving those moments. Like I sent this out in an email newsletter a couple weeks ago to like people on our mailing list, and I had like, oh, the other thing I did is like I, broke into my elementary school and I stole like the art supplies and library money and whatever when I was in like fourth grade or something.
Now it's
Anyway.
projections of friends taking wine glasses at restaurants.
Exactly. That's such a good point. And if anybody listened to our values episode, I talked about it. And all those people are listening to this podcast because they already told me they started listening. And so they're going to hear that story. But I totally broke into the school and stole stuff. And then fast forward to just this year, I'm like, why are you guys stealing wine glasses from people?
You
Anyway.
fixed mindset person.
Yeah.
Well,
It's
I
just
think that's
interesting.
a I think that's a great thing to kind of finish on or wrap up on is celebrating the not the failures because it's not, but it's learning, right? And just on one final thing for me, when I went through the tough times, I'm part of YPO, Young Presidents Organization, and we get a chance to have like a fireside chat with successful people in the region. Super, super successful people. And one question, it was more for me. One thing, because everyone was talking kind of about the successes and the achievements and selling the business and making this amount of money and being on the front page of Forbes and X, Y, and Z. And I was like, I wanted to know what were the two or three toughest times that you went through where you thought, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And when I heard their stories, I was like, well, mine actually isn't that bad. Like what they've been through, the sacrifices that they made, the tough times, and they've still got to where they have, having been through that two, three, four times, while I've got a chance. And I
You know what?
think
There's a book
we
there.
should all be talking about
Yeah, we should start a
that.
movement.
I'll give my closing
Okay.
remarks, and because it goes on, one of my favorite talks that I do is called The Power of Your Story. And it's all based on everything that you both just said. And one thing I could leave the listeners with that supports me a lot is to start the day with gratitude, okay, and or positive things that you celebrate from the day before. And what it does is it starts shifting the space where now you can look for opportunities to be in that growth mindset very quickly, right from the get-go. Mary, I think this might be a good topic in terms of the power of your story because I think we're connected. All three of us are connected to the title just for a future episode. And then if the
Yeah,
listeners want
absolutely.
that, please make comments below and see if it's something
Yeah.
that's of interest to you.
Yeah. Or we'll just decide to talk about it because we want to as well.
Yeah, we're
Yeah.
going
The
to have that
listeners,
chat
you're going to
anyway,
hear
even if they don't want to, even if they don't want to
it.
listen,
That's
we're
right.
going to
If
have
they
that
don't
chat.
listen, they don't listen. We still get to have the
But
conversation. For us.
I like saying, make comments below, right? What would you like
Yeah.
to hear in the
We
power of your
want to
story?
hear.
And hit like, and please share. I've always wanted to
Yes.
say
I like that. That's good. You,
that.
yeah, keep doing that.
Okay.
My takeaway would be, or my like one thing would be simple. Like, what can I learn from this? You know, like, it, and it's what can I learn from the win? What can I learn from the conversation? What can I learn from the failure? What can I learn from the, I mean, I do believe the whole you're either succeeding or learning. Like, it's all just a, but if you just ask that question, it reframes whatever challenge you have. The other thing is like, what can I learn from this? Or what can I learn from this person? Because I think a lot of times fixed mindset comes in our relationship to other people. And you look no further than politics as an example, because, people will assign a certain set of attributes to somebody who votes one way or another. That's a fixed mindset. You're labeling someone based on something, a fairly complex decision that has much more to do with their life and their challenges and their struggles and all that stuff than what you think it is. So, what can I learn from this person, or how can I have unconditional positive regard for this person and say, you know what, I'm not going to judge this person based on what I think I know about them. How can I be open to this experience? So for me, it's those things that keep you from getting too comfortable in your sense of rightness or limitations of a situation or a person.
So basically, the learning that I had from this person called James this morning with his sexy
Yeah.
bicycling
I saw
outfit
you were
put
going.
me
I could
into
see the
growth
twinkle in your
mindset
eye.
right from the get-go. Thanks, James.
Oh,
Don't worry.
goodness.
I'll
Okay.
show up
On
next
that
week with the
note,
cycling for you. Yeah.
You know what
you
we should do is we should post a photo of you in your bike wear on
have
our
to. Oh, you
social.
have to.
Yeah, so you're gonna
Okay,
have to
okay. I'll
take
think.
before this
Otherwise, there's no
episode
context on
airs.
the.
Maybe I might have a fixed mindset, which is a no. Let's see.
It's okay. We have a few weeks to work on you before that one. Just send us a couple photos. Once you're comfortable being blasted all over the internet, no problem.
Yeah. No problem,
All
no
right,
problem.
everybody. Thanks for
Thanks,
tuning
everyone.
in.
Thanks, everyone.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.